Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Thank you. We have a worship night happening on the 30th, and we had one before, gosh, I think the holidays of 2021. And it was just so good. And if you were not out at that, not a big deal. Like I said, we have one coming up at the end of January. And it's just a great time not only to worship God, but if you want to handle some stuff, if you got some things happening in your life, please come on out to that. God willing, everything stays or gets better than what it is now in our world. We are starting a brand new book of the Bible. And I don't want to say it, but I will because I'm a dad. New year, new me, right? New year, new me. I hope you are all doing great on your resolutions. Or if you're hipper than that and you decided not to call them resolutions, you are calling them accomplishments or goals that you want to have. I hope you're doing well online. Obviously, you're doing well. I pray that you are able to understand that if you've already flubbed up and you have messed up a little bit, that there's still tomorrow, though we're not guaranteed it biblically, right? That was a little morbid, huh? But it is what it is. It's also the truth. Macy, oh, hey. We are in the book of Acts today, and if you have your Bible on you, please turn it on. Or if you have your Bible with you, please open it. All those millennials smile because you know I'm talking to you / me. We are in this book that is, man, just in the back. I was praying. I was really wanting tonight to be something different, something that we don't necessarily logically comprehend, but with our hearts we'll comprehend it. I've heard it put this way, that we will know in our knower that the Lord is here and that the Holy Spirit is doing a work in this place. For those of you who are our parents, for those of you who are people who have family members or friends, I got a question for you right out the gate. Who takes care of your family? Who takes care of your friends? Who is it that ultimately is responsible for taking care of them? Because if we believe in God, and if we believe that he is a deity that you can go before and you can speak with, how often do you do it? If we believe that the book of Isaiah, when Isaiah writes and says that in representation of the Lord tells us, bring your problem, your issue, your concern with me. God says, let's argue about it so that you, human being, would be proved right. So if that's our God, and we have these family, you know, these people, this group of people in our lives that we love, how often do you talk to him about it? I also want to remind you today, we do not control the world. I don't know what your parents, you know, raised you like growing up, but we do not control the world. Thankfully, he does. Online, thankfully, he does. And because he loves us, he wants to listen to us. And then, you know, if you're a typical guy, you're just like, no, because I do this, or no, because I think these thoughts. He is still madly in love with you. He still sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for you. This is the God that we're talking about. This is the God whose presence we are in right now, online, just the same. He cares about us. So let's get into Acts chapter 1. I thought Gennaro's prayer was really good, so I'm not necessarily going to be praying over this message because I kind of feel like that was sufficed a little bit, and I've been praying all day as well, and so and obviously you have, because look at you, the Lord just brought you here. So we're going to start in verse 1 of chapter 1 in the book of Acts, and it reads this: the first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up to heaven after he had, by the Holy Spirit, given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. To these he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. If we can leave that verse up real quick, can we put it back up? I don't know how old I was, 20-something, when I found out that Jesus actually chilled on the earth after raising from the dead for 40 days. This has to be the most important information that you tell people, that 40 days that you just destroyed death and what every human being thought about it. It's a very interesting, I don't want to bypass any of these verses necessarily because they all contain so much, but we are getting to something here tonight that will be the theme of this book as we continue to read through it. Verse 4, if you could. Gathering them together, he commanded them, this is Jesus talking to his disciples, commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised. Which, he said, here comes some red letters here, you heard of from me. Verse 5, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time that you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? He said, and this is for any parents or anybody out there that needs to know what's happening next, Jesus says, it's not for you to know the times or the epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority. Some of us, you're good. You can leave right now and I won't be offended. It's not for you to know. We want to know. Why shouldn't we know? If we fast and pray enough, God should reveal all the details because we ask of him. But Jesus makes it clear we're not supposed to know. We're supposed to enjoy our life with our Father here on earth. Verse 8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. And church, that's where we're going to stop here tonight. I'm going to read that again, and we'll probably read it a handful more times. But it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. You shall be my witnesses. You shall be my witnesses. It does not say that you might receive the Holy Spirit, believer. It does not say that you might receive the Holy Spirit, Christian. It says that you will receive the Holy Spirit. Believers out there, we got to start believing that the Holy Spirit lives inside of us and that the Holy Spirit is more powerful than the genes of our family members. And we just quote it as, well, my dad did this or my mom did this or my grandma was like this and it's in my blood. Nope. The Bible says that you and I are a brand new creation in Jesus' name. Oh, I am. And then I'm going to leave it. But this is just something that I think, if I can be completely honest with you, like, I think of my kids when I think of you. When I was over the high school ministry here, I would tell those high school kids, you guys are my future kids, pastors and youth ministry leaders. And you better have the Holy Spirit if you're dealing with my kids. I don't want no fake leaders over my kids telling them their opinions. And we have people out there. You have your own family members, your own coworkers, your neighbors, those difficult ones, those gangster ones, those dangerous ones. They need you filled with the Holy Spirit to minister to them because you are going to be the only version of Jesus Christ that they ever see. And so let's look at this here because I told the tech team, I had to make it very clear with the tech team, do not put my sermon title up yet because it's all about presentation. I love presentation. But I do want to look at a definition of a word that I think we are becoming so familiar with that maybe you make the connection when you think of it, but it's the word artificial. And I want to give you the definition of the word artificial. Made or produced by human beings. not too bad. Artificial. That's like the heart. I looked up a whole bunch of different online dictionaries, and this was like summed up. This is basically the heart of the definition. It is made or produced by human beings. Now let's add the most famous grouping of those words together, artificial intelligence. Made or produced by human beings' intelligence. That ain't gonna be that smart. Like, if you really think about it, like, it can't be that smart. It can't know everything because you and I and the creators of this intelligence does not know everything. And I feel like sometimes, though, that is our relationship to the Holy Spirit. I'm titling tonight's sermon, Artificially Anchored. Because sometimes I think that we do a really good job of telling ourselves that we're believers, but we really aren't anchored to Jesus Christ. We really aren't anchored to the Holy Spirit. We just tell ourselves that we are. We're artificially anchored to God. Now, I don't know what I sound like when you're here chilling and I'm up here. I'm not trying to preach like some sort of fire, brimstone, get right or get left sort of thing. Like, that's not the idea. God had to make it very clear. I wrote it down in my notes. I'm not going to, but God told me, encourage them when they come out. Encourage them. When you're out here, remind them that they're doing well when it comes to their New Year's obstacles that they're trying to overcome, or resolutions, whatever you want to call it. I don't want to be misunderstood here that everyone here is a terrible Christian. No, I'm just, tonight, the only goal that God has given me is just to raise the bar. That's it. Let's just raise the bar together. Let's raise the bar in the way that we hear God. Let's raise the bar in the way that we see Scripture. Let's raise the bar in the way that the truth about Jesus Christ affects our lives. It's 2022. We can't put up with any more fear. We can't put up with any more depression. We can't put up with any more substance abuse. We can't put up with any more of everything that we've been going through the last 2 years. We need, as believers online too, we need, as believers, people who believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. That is what we're talking about. The book of Acts, the theme of the book of Acts is the fact that there were these normal human beings who were filled with the Holy Spirit. They had to be. Jesus left. He was gone. Jesus even tells us, he goes, it's better that I go away. Some of us, it would be so much better if Jesus was sitting right next to us, wouldn't it? Then we would know what ethnicity he is. Then we would be able to find out what language he spoke, because it's not English, and it's not a British version of English like we see on every single American-made story about Jesus. But we don't have that luxury. We have something better, Jesus says. The Spirit within us. And I want to look at this here because I got like 23 minutes. And I'm going to do my best. I was in the back. And there's a song. Hopefully, prayerfully, we will do it for the worship night. We've been talking. We got some ideas on the table. There's a song called All Consuming Fire. And in this song, it says, I want to know how high, how deep, how wide is your love. And I want that. I didn't sign up to follow Jesus because he gave me like a 38-year plan, told me how much I was going to be making, what my wife was going to look like, what my kids were going to do, that all the problems were going to be gone. Like, I didn't sign up because I was given that. I signed up because God got a hold of me, and it was just different. And that's what a lot of us in this room, but then I think circumstances and situations come. circumstances and people, we either lose them in our lives physically or we lose them in our lives distantly, and we just find ourselves in this position of just going, what has happened to my life? And I want to encourage believers, and I want to encourage those who do not believe, but you come here because you're either dragged here because they're cute, or you're dragged here because you're grounded if you don't go here. It's something that deep down, God is wanting to do something different with us. God is wanting to take our lives and reinstitute the will and the plan that he destined for us before the foundation of the world, Ephesians says. So you might be really smart with numbers and everything's falling apart because now you work from home during the pandemic. Whatever it is, we can still be spirit-filled believers. Every single one of our lives has so many different stories behind it. I'm not trying to bypass any of it. I'm just trying to tell you what the Bible says. Now, I want to point to something that is really, really interesting, and it will be eventually, tech team, I'm going to bring it up, my point number one. But I see Jesus here do something, and as he's talking to his disciples, he tells them to wait. That's got to be, hands down, that's like the worst word to hear. Jesus tells us to wait. Being in youth ministry, you know, you got these kids that are like, you know, God's got three answers. Yes, no, or not yet. I hate not yet. I hate wait. And I can say that. I've been in the waiting. The waiting is not enjoyable. There's not a whole lot that happens in the waiting, but still, Jesus tells us to wait. The first point when it comes to the power of the Holy Spirit is that there is a process to this. I remember when I first got saved, and man, you heard those stories of those drug addicts that the night that they gave their lives over to God in a crusade and the Holy Spirit fell on them. Not only were they speaking in tongues, but they never wanted drugs again. He's like, wow. I would love for that to happen to me. It didn't. I would love for there to be this sin that I deal with or these thoughts that I think. These are the things I came to God with. And I'm like, hey, I kind of want these gone. And he goes, okay. 31 years old now. I gave my life over to Christ when I was 19, like still in the waiting. I thought I was supposed to be thinking purely 24/7. All my thoughts are God, God, Bible study, walking, literally physically walking on water, like multiplying food when I needed to. Why not? I'm a little Jesus. But then here I am. And I'll tell you what, man, I love my kids to death, but it's not the holiest of thoughts that go through my head when they're screaming at each other for the 39th time in 10 seconds. And I just go, Lord, I thought I should be past this by now. It's a process. There was a reason why Jesus said, I need you to just wait in Jerusalem. Some stuff has to happen. We don't know what those things are, but I can tell you that there's people in this place that can say definitively, if we were to have like some testimonial night or something, you would come up here and you would be able to define for us the beauty of waiting, the beauty of what it is that God was doing behind the scenes that we did not see. And then all of a sudden, because you continue to wait, you continue to pray, you continue to read the Bible, you continue to stay faithful to God and nothing else, that now you know in your knower the reality of who it is that lives within you. Because that's the thing that the world does not understand. How do we know as believers? Now, I can tell you, people out there who do not know what we're talking about, you will never know if you don't have the Holy Spirit. You will never know. It's not something you can write down. I can tell you that there are people that have heard God's audible voice, and then you go, it's like one of those weird dreams you have. Have you ever tried to describe that dream and you can't? Because it was like an elephant, but it wasn't an elephant, and it wasn't quite blue. It was like a purple, but it wasn't also so you start describing something to somebody that you saw, that you so-and-so like experienced, and you sound like a crazy person. And then there's God, and you got to describe to people what God's audible voice sounds like, or what it, how you know that you're supposed to do this thing. And someone goes, "Okay, so what did that sound like?" You're like, "Well, actually, I didn't hear it. I felt it, but I didn't. It wasn't a feeling. I felt words." Like, you can't thoroughly explain that, because God is not about that. He's a personal God. He's personal. Hopefully, I'm saving a lot of people a lot of heartache, because we've been trying to hear this audible voice of God, or we've been trying to be, you know, "God, I've heard about the two or three confirmations. God, I need 10 before I make this move." And sometimes God goes, "Hey, remember those three that I gave you 6 years ago? I gave you the three. I told you I wanted you to go to this place. That's actually why your life is the way that it is right now. It's because I made a left, you kept going straight." And if you're honest with yourself, you'll go, "Yeah, Lord, I heard you. I just didn't want to do that, if I can be honest." It's a process. I think, I don't want to get too hippie on you, but I think the best display of this process of waiting can be learned if you grow fruits and vegetables. Is that too much? Can I say that? Like, every carnivore in here hates me. I'm not saying give up meat. I'm saying that we can learn so much about what was originally in the garden. If you read scripture, it says that you and I were only supposed to be eating fruits and vegetables, vegetation. That was the original design. Don't throw stones, please. I'm just saying what scripture tells you. If you don't like it, that's you. Because what you'll see in growing things is, let me say fruits and vegetables. I know it got legal, but you can't necessarily grow it. You know what I mean? But it's like fruits and vegetables. You plant this thing, and you've got to water it. You got to take care of it. But it is going to be junk if the soil's not good. If the soil's good and you're watering it and you're taking care of it, you'll see nothing for a very long time. And if you're watering it and you're letting the right amount of sunshine in, and it's not too cold and it's not too warm, all these different kinds of conditions, all of a sudden it starts to take. And next thing you know, you see this thing growing, and they all look the same right at the beginning. And then eventually these things start growing. And then you think, "This is it. This is so nice. This is so easy." But then you learn about the pests and you learn about the bugs. And all of a sudden these beautiful, like, beautiful green caterpillars come out of nowhere and start eating all the stuff that you have, and you're mad at them. So you look up on YouTube a safe organic way of killing these things, and you find out these things, and you spray it on all your plants, and they all turn the same color. So then you give up on your cucumbers, but you keep your broccoli and your romaine and your kale, and then you find out that actually, if you just let it keep growing, they all would have been perfect. It was just that original thing. And God teaches you patience. I may or may not have taken that trip before. I could have had a lot of cucumbers. But I sit here and I just see, Lord, this is your design, because if the foundation of what we believe in is good, it's going to take some time, but we'll be stronger believers later. There's a process to what God is saying. I want to give you the second point when it comes to what we see here with Jesus describing the Holy Spirit and what it takes. There is believing. Isn't that crazy? Believers are supposed to believe. We didn't know that before coming in here. Did you know you are supposed to believe? You are. And it's never going to stop. It's why that's what we're called. We're supposed to continue to believe. And I know sometimes God pulls you through something that you're like, "Man, I kind of need a break." And God's patient with you. He will be patient with you. But then there's going to come something else. And you're going to have to believe all over again. And sometimes that believing moment is too much for us to take. That's the beauty of the church. That's the beauty of messages. That's the beauty of Bible studies. That's the beauty of community. That's the beauty of being able to at least have a couple of believers around you that you can lean on. There's believing that you and I need to start taking place in. I like to be transparent with you because Can you put up that slide again of the title, artificial anchored? That P word is a problem for me. Camera one, are you on me? Okay, cool. A P word's a problem for me. Because now, it's like this mental stage I'm put on. I'm like, dang, bro, I can't laugh at fart jokes anymore. Like, I gotta be professional and adult. Two kids later, right? Like, I'm just figuring this out. But when it comes to believing, I don't want to do what God tells me to do. I'm glad I'm the only one. Like, I don't. You don't. It's why we're here. You know, it's why we need God. Like, wait a second, Lord, are you really saying I need you to speak through somebody? Give me somebody tonight. And you sit down, and then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, shoot. What God was saying was confirmed during worship, and now I'm realizing I'm supposed to actually do this thing that God's telling me to do. We're supposed to believe that if we lose our jobs, God's bringing something better. We're supposed to believe that God is really going to look out for us if we take that next unseeable step. We're supposed to take steps in the direction. But Tom, it's so hard. It's so difficult. You guys, I don't know if you have it up in your house. If you do, I am sorry. But this whole idea that God's not going to give you something you can't handle, that's a lie. God is 100% going to give you something you can't handle. That's not scriptural. Moses and the Red Sea. Like, that's exhibit one. Like, we've got, I'm not even out of the Old Testament. Like, we have so many parts in scripture where God goes, listen, you need me for this, and I will be with you because I love you. That's where you and I are at right now. And we just need to believe. Some of you need to believe that that little one that you have that's a real pain in your side, that God still has a plan for him, so you're going to keep him around to fulfill that plan. I know, I got two. And it's this thing where we don't always see what is coming down the very end, but we're not supposed to. Jesus said it in verse 7. It's not for you to know the times or the epochs. But the beauty comes when we lean in, not to what we understand in this logic, this God that we've put into a box, but we lean into what we do not understand. God wants to do something amazing in every single one of our lives. In John, we're going to go 14. I totally missed that first one. But John chapter 14, verse 26. It says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. He will bring to your remembrance all, keep this up here, please, tech team. Bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. You ever see that person who knows so much of Scripture but could care less about human beings? I don't trip on memorizing Scripture all that bad because I believe what Jesus said at the very end there. You will remember all that I said to you. Because sometimes we can know a lot of Scripture and know nothing about what people have been going through. We can know that they go to hell if they live this sin out. But then they try to talk to you about what they've been going through. They've been depressed. They've been filled with anxiety. They don't know what's coming next. They're scared about their family member who's in the hospital. And all you're going to do is throw Scripture at them? Is that what Jesus did? One of my favorite stories about Jesus in Scripture is when there was an actually dead little girl. She was a little one. And there were a lot of people who knew that she was dead, but they called Jesus in. And what he said was, she's not dead, she's asleep. And we think that, you know, and most likely, that was Jesus, his faith. He was, nope, he's about to wake her up. But what if Jesus was really saying that because he was looking out for the girl's reputation? Are you the girl that was dead? The guy who's going to propose to her. Oh, bro, you're going to marry the dead chick? What if Jesus really cared that much? Can God care that much? Or is he business all the time? I can prove to you that you're wrong in that logic, whoever you are. Because at the end of John, it says, and Jesus did so many more things that I did not write down, John says, that if they were to be written down, not every book in the entire world could contain what it was that Jesus did. Jesus, the Bible is not a marketing campaign for him. He just loved people. And he did everything that he could to help them. He even told his disciples at certain points, don't say anything about what you just saw. Because he cared. And if you and I are to represent him, we better start caring about people. And if you find yourself in a position that life is too much for you, I know a way that can help you. And you can have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. And if you're biblically sound, those are the fruits of the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit and only the Holy Spirit. I have three sub-things that I just want to go through here real quickly, and we might be out on time. First one is the Holy Spirit makes you holy. Funny how that works. I know this is like basic and fundamental, but sometimes we need it. Leviticus, and it's mentioned in 1 Peter. You've heard this. You are to be holy, for I am holy, God tells us. That's like one of the commands. It doesn't make the famous 10, but it's one of like the commands. You are to be holy, as I am holy, God says in Leviticus. Then 1 Peter mentions it again. So how do we get there? It's impossible. Especially in America. Everywhere you go, they're trying to get you to do something that you can find scripture on that we're not supposed to do. Everywhere we go. You can't even watch a movie anymore that's rated PG without something getting slipped in there that you're just like, dang it, there it is. So how do we do this? We can't do it on our own, ladies and gentlemen. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. It's okay to be weak and need the Holy Spirit. It's okay to, this is going to suck right here, wait on the Lord. What happens when you wait on the Lord? Your strength is renewed. Isn't this crazy how this works? We just got done saying we don't want to wait, but you're stronger when you wait, which goes against everything I do at the gym. We're supposed to wait. The second thing, the Holy Spirit will show you grace. Luke chapter 3, verse 22. Can you put that up there, please? Holy Spirit descended on Jesus like a dove. We knew this. We've seen this before. We know this. I looked this up. I'm biblically sound. Exegesis. Literally, the Holy Spirit took the form of a dove. Why? You ever wonder? Like, why? Because if it was a generic shape of a dove, why didn't it say, like, took the form of a bag? Right? Or a stone? Or a circle? A wheel? Anything. Revelations talks about all these things covered in eyes. Like, they know how to be specific. But is the actual form of a dove. A dove is a symbol of purity, innocence, and wait for it. In sacrifices in the temple, the dove was a bird that poor people could offer in the temple. In this one sentence of Jesus and the Holy Spirit descending upon Jesus in the form of a dove, God is summing up that he has come not only for these religious figures, but for poor people as well. This was an image that people saw. If you've ever, believer, Holy Spirit believer, if you've ever made mistakes, and when you go and you begin to talk to the Lord about it, and you're not getting, like, whatever trouble was for you growing up. I got the spoon growing up. I don't want to see any hands. I got the spoon growing up. Wooden spoon. For any people out there who don't know what I'm talking about. My mom, she would, I think even sometimes, she would just, whoosh, just to see what we would do. And so, sometimes I imagine, I messed up. Lord, what do you have to say? I expect the spoon. I expect him to take something away. I expect to look outside, my car stolen. I expect to look at my bank account and something got messed up and all my money's gone. I expect for somebody I love to get sick. Like, we start to do these things. But the Holy Spirit will show grace, will communicate grace from heaven for us. And then lastly, the Holy Spirit will lead you to start something new. Tech team, I don't think I gave this to you in the back because I got a little bit ahead of myself, and I'm actually wanting to mention something in Acts chapter 2, but we're not there yet. We're going to eventually get there as a church. But it says that the Holy Spirit descended as tongues of fire. I don't want to get too weird, but literally tongues, like the thing that's in your mouth, that was the shape. It says in the King James, a contrite. So it went out in a whole bunch of different people. This image of fire was over them. Like an actual, like, little flame, like something like maybe one of you has tattooed to you. Like something small like that. And that was how the Holy Spirit decided to do what? The day of Pentecost, the day that the church was started. So the Holy Spirit is not only full of grace and out to make you holy, but the Holy Spirit will also move within you to start something new. Now, it's not necessarily every single one of us are church planters. It's not that, but maybe you are to start something new generationally in your family, to break whatever has been holding you and your family members down, to break whatever it is has been holding you down mentally, and you knew you were just going to pass it on to your friends and your family. You were going to start something new because the power of the Holy Spirit, he knows no other way of interacting with believers. We are to start something new. We are to know the grace of God, and we are to live as holy individuals that are in love with their Creator, who are in love with the story of their Savior. That's who we are. And I know that it gets really difficult at times, but thank God that He died for the church. Thank God that we have this. Thank God that we're able to look around and see a whole bunch of misfits sitting to our left and our rights and our fronts and our backs. And thankfully, you might be married to a misfit, but thankfully, God is pulling us through together. Now, if you are a person, because I know that our time is up, if you are a person who does not know whether or not you have the Holy Spirit in you, that's not a bad question to ask. Might be embarrassing because you've been coming to church for however long, and you might be leading a Bible study, or maybe you're the religious person out of your friends and family. But I also want to speak to those of you that think like you have done this. Oh, I have received the Holy Spirit. It does say that if you have the Holy Spirit in you, there will be fruit. Maybe you're not Pastor Ron, but is there some fruit? You have self-control over anything? You have joy when you shouldn't have joy? I want to encourage you guys tonight. And then if you watch this again, or whoever watches this online later, the best thing that we could ever do is receive the Holy Spirit to move inside of us. My wife and I will look at each other and we're just like, how do we know how to do the things that we do? In raising our kids, in praying over jobs, in praying over our family. You guys, it's embarrassing to pray for people you know. If you've ever been there, I remember praying for my dad because his knee was hurting. I felt so weird. Why? Not because it's new. It's because God's stretching you. It's because God wants you to set a precedent in your family that we're not just going to be churchgoers anymore, but we're going to be believers. It's 2022. You have an opportunity to do it different this time. Jesus says in verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You will. In church, it's okay if your power looks different than the people around you. But at least we have the power. And I don't know where we're at today. But man, God needs us to believe so that we can get his kids home. We know this. But what about them? He looks at those kids that will not spend eternity with him, and he goes, I send you. Oh, but God, I don't have what it takes. He goes, no, I know. That's what the Holy Spirit's for. You're going to remember everything I said when you go. You're going to remember everything that I ever did when you go. You're going to hear things. Things are going to take place, but it's when you go. It's not when you sit. It's not when you put God in a box. It's when you believe, and it's when you go. And so I just want to pray for you before we leave here tonight and online and whoever listens to this later. But it's when we go, because God is wanting to do something that is so much more. And the best part about it is that it's all him. We just spiritually have to keep the door open. Lord, what do you want to do in my life? Okay, you want me here at this job. Why though? Okay, you gave me these kids. Why though? Show me what you see in them. Show me what you see in these employees. Show me what you see in these people that you have placed me around. Show me how I can encourage them, please. So let me pray with you guys.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King, here is our Lord, here is our God who's come to bring us back to God.